So then this is the song that ends up late from John coming home and saying, you know, with that night with the 24,000 miles per hour and the 23,999 miles per hour ends up becoming, you know, kind of the template and the theme of the record. And I just thought, as far as from my point of view, just the number itself, I personally, and all of us were moving pretty fast at that point in life, you know, and things were crazy and we were moving.
And
so it fit well, just the number.
We're a self-motivated juggernaut with nothing but the stars as our goal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we didn't want to be, you know, we wanted to conquer everywhere, but
it's all we talked about. It's all we said. We were making promises. We were cashing in on the credit we put down. We were going to be rock stars, and nothing was going to stop us. And we'll see you at the top.
Yeah. And as far as the song itself, I, you know, after John and I talked that night that he came home with the idea, and then I remember being in my room, and I think it, you know, I can still remember sitting there, and the first thing I wrote was, "Here we go again, flying through the space, touching all the stars, the dead ones we replace," which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then constellations pose, they hold us in our flight, picking up a trail, a comet offers light. That was pretty poetic stuff there. I thought for a Kiss style, you know, song, that was a pretty good start. But, and then I kind of remember thinking, well, where do I go from here? Right. And I thought, well, here we go again, flying through the space. So maybe we visit different places. And at that point, it's written. It's right. Just a matter of filling in the template. So that's what I did.
It's all the potential and all the your dreams. And it's a great trip throughout the solar system.
Yeah, we have some madcap adventures. And, of course, at the pinnacle when we feel we're going to escape Earth, you know. And there's also, of course, a drug correlation to the whole thing. I mean, you know, we're not going 23,999 miles per hour horizontally. We're doing it vertically and up, which was pretty much a pretty good theme of my life at that point. And if I could take a drug, I would. So with few questions asked.
Yeah.
So it fit in a bunch of different ways for us at the time. And I think was, you know, I've thought about it too. What if we had flipped it? Saturday Sunshine. Great song. They sandwich the record perfectly, whichever way you play it.
Yeah.
And I think 23,000 just kind of set the tone. And it was that song I always said about the Doors. You know, if they didn't come out with Break On Through first, which was kind of just that crash and rock song, I don't know that they would have gotten away with people listening to them long enough on some of the other stuff, you know?
Yeah, and, I agree.
And that's what 23,000 was. It was our Break On Through.
Yeah.
So.
And what better way to start an album but on a launching pad?
Well, and then we put the rocket ship in there too, which in this remastered version, you know, I told Alan when I talked to him, listen, the rocket ship at the beginning, like, and it just wasn't big enough in the original. You know, I don't want it to sound like a rowboat pulling away from dock. I want it to sound like a freaking rocket ship taking off. And it does. And it extends further into the song, actually, than the original mastered copy did.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. And it's the perfect kickoff. And then we head toward Not Magic. Which John had talked about writing in Owen's attic.
Yeah. Ed, Owen, and I would go up into Owen's attic and just start playing. And what became a recurring theme was this bouncy jazz riff. And it was just such a contagious riff and so fun, and it just flowed, and you could play it all day. We would play it. I mean, we would play it for, you know, we go on like 30, 40 minutes an hour, and then we would branch off on some other riffs and just explore and do, you know, and come back. But that became something, and we would do that for 8 hours a day. And
then, in an attic, by the way, was about 147 degrees. Yeah. It was the dead of summer, and it was brutal, brutal there.
And then
sweat just dripping off of everyone.
Yep. And then it would break into this hard rock crash. So, you know, it was originally dubbed the Jazz Monster. And then you said this was one of the first songs you actually wrote the lyrics to the music.
One of the only songs, really, at the end of the day, that we ever did that way. We were usually all together, and you guys, one of you would hit on something that I liked, or that kind of struck me, and I'd say, play that again, play it over, do this, do, you know. And that's usually how we wrote things.
Yeah.
But I was the only one among us at that point who still had a job.
Yes.
So I was going to work all day, and these guys were getting up and going to the attic, and then I would go after. And still, I'm at that point a bit elusive anyway, because I'm just screwing around and, you know, even still today, beat myself up for my role in that time period of the Shards, and just that, you know, I wasn't always centered and focused on what was important. So anyway, it's the three of them up there slaving away all day.
Yeah. We were making tapes. We gave it, yeah, and early home recordings, boombox.
Well, we were masters of boombox recording.
Yeah, we were.
We did a lot.
Top quality cassettes. Unfortunately, none of them survived.
No, shameful. Even our At the Track shows in Chicago.
I don't know why we weren't smart enough to make copies.
We were just stupid.
We were.
Well, you're 20.
Yeah.
And you're going always going to be 20, and everything's always going to be, right. You know, it's just lack of thought. I can remember the day that At the Tracks tape got eaten in the recorder. Still.
Yeah. The tape recorder days.
Yeah. So I show up at Owen's attic one day, and, you know, the guys had been working on this musical piece. And like John said, they recorded it on a little cassette. And I took that back to the apartment, and I went in my room and I put it in. I don't remember what I was thinking when I wrote it, the words. I remember being on the end of the bed. I kind of lay with, like, belly on the bed, like belly down, writing it. And it came, again, very quickly and easily. And kind of had the cool part lyrically, I always thought was kind of came. It was kind of a hybrid write. Because I wrote what I wrote, whatever that may be. I don't have copies of the original, but I think it became what it became when we recorded it. And the chorus part, the "here I stand, now I'm free, it's not magic, it's only me." And then the "take me, it's all right, I feel so cold, it must be night." But there's a bunch of parts through it that are double, like the word I'm trying to find it now, but, you know, the word I'm on, it means a double. You know, it ends whatever sentence I'm coming off of, but begins the next
right
phrase of the...
Well, you do that with the word why.
With after high.
Yeah.
You're already high. Why? Here I stand.
Yes. Yes. Which sort of, it sort of echoes like the way they do that in Detroit Rock City. There's a similar.
Yeah, I can see that.
Trick used there.
And then I remember going back to Owen's attic. I think we actually, those pictures
yeah.
that have floated around for years that you have and you yeah. put up of all of, there's pictures of all of us. And I believe that's the day we wrote as a group, not Magic, because
yes.
I think I came back with the lyrics
right.
and what I wanted to sing, and we did it.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool, and it was, you know, it locked in pretty quickly.
Yeah, and we actually played it, and we have a live version with Owen at the Electric Peace Fest.
Yeah. And then, of course, the ending part, which just takes off and was always pretty cool.
Yeah.
And really when we played live we always came early in a set. It was usually the second or third song we played of the night. Yeah. I think it got your attention. And that end was just, that was like where we, you know, I always said when we play live, you might get a song and a half in and you feel it all click in to place. And from that point, it becomes easy. A lot of times that point was the end of Not Magic, where Definitely. We would just lock in, and
yep.
then it was just thoughtless from that point on, and it took off, you know. So, and you know, maybe we should have tried to write more songs that way, but it was just how it worked out.
Yeah,
and I think pretty rare, because I don't, you know, I don't remember us getting together and having to now shoehorn it into place. Like you gave me the music, I wrote the words, yeah. I sang it the way I was gonna sing it,
yeah,
and we put it together and it all fit beautifully, you
yeah.
know. So I think the way I sang, which is what I was trying to get to before, just the way I put emphasis on those certain words
right
made it a little more, but you know, other than that, again, it was pretty easy.
Yeah.
Thank you.